From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt.
And my name is Ben.
And I've got my rock star right here, a couple of notes. Mm-hmm. And this is Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Yes, and today we are coming to you with our super producer, Noel, from the bunker at How Stuff Works headquarters.
What up, Noel?
Hey, did you hear his voice in the beginning? That's Noel.
Yeah, that's the guy. At the end as well, sometimes,
that's
if you're
right.
Lucky enough to hear him. Yes, so in addition to being the producer and making so many excellent edits to all of the audio podcasts.
You know what? Noel is also a bass player, and he's kind of awesome, so you should check this out. Blue Bloods from Atlanta and Brothers from Atlanta. It's really awesome. And they're both from Athens, Georgia. Excuse me, not Atlanta, Georgia. What am I thinking?
Oh, you ruined Christmas. Yeah, so in addition to recording all of the audio podcasts for How Stuff Works, Noel is building a bunker here in our audio studio. Now, when we say bunker, we mean we have to have some sound insulation here, mm-hmm. To keep the video studio and the audio studio from leaking into each other. We've got to work on the roof and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty nice in here, man. It's a fixer upper, but I'm liking it. I think maybe we need some more ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Could use some more canned goods,
some lead shielding.
Yeah,
maybe put this, couple clicks underground.
Yeah, oh,
there
you go.
That's impossible. I don't think we can build it kilometers underground yet. But why are we talking about bunkers? Great question. For anyone who happened not to read the title of the episode, this is our show notes episode on secret nuclear weapons.
Yeah, secret nuclear weapon programs. Or what did you say before? Alleged?
Oh, right, yes.
Nuclear programs?
Yes, we... Okay, yes, to be absolutely fair, and thank you for making that point, Matt, we will need to say allegedly ad nauseum throughout this podcast. And why do we need to do that? Well, we need to do that because there are still some countries that allegedly, finger quote, feel the finger quotes when I say this, allegedly have
I don't know if I like the way those feel.
That's fine. I'm sorry. It's happening. Deal with it. And... the number one thing that we found when we looked at secret nukes in our video episode was that, it's more common than people have thought originally, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a sought after thing. It's nuclear power basically gives you a card to play against any other state that would want to maybe bully you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got that card to play, you know, by the way, we have nukes. Mm-hmm. Even if they have nukes, it's that mutually assured destruction that it really kind of helps you sit at a diplomatic table more than just getting pushed around.
Yes. In theories about international politics, this strategy is called deterrence. The idea that if you and I, Matt, are two separate antagonistic countries and we may or may not have some sort of beef that could result in a mm-hmm. war, we will be less likely to engage in any kind of conflict with each other because we both have the real life version of the ultimate nullifier. And yeah, that is for the Fantastic Four fans out there. Sorry.
Thanks,
about the movies.
Ben.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. But point being, the idea that having such a potentially dangerous weapon, could dissuade people from invading or engaging in economic terrorism,
mm-hmm.
Simply by virtue of having this nuclear weapon, it's tremendously tempting for every head of state, from a dictator to a democratically elected president.
And we've been in this position, Ben, for quite a while now, where all of these, there are many countries that do have nuclear technology,
sure,
and weaponry. And a lot of them are allied on different sides. You know, you go back to the Cold War, of course, mm-hmm. and you look at how many times we've been close to destroying the pretty much humanity, mm-hmm. life on Earth, at least for a while. And it makes you think right now, how close are we to getting to that point again?
To getting to the point where the doomsday clock is a few minutes away?
Yeah, and I believe it was at 5 minutes away last time I checked it, last week.
Yeah. Matt checks the doomsday clock with an alarming regularity.
Yeah, I think I've got some kind of update through my email.
Right, a Google alert.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a great point. We've set the scene and we know why countries want nuclear weapons. We also know implicitly why other countries don't want countries to have nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. So first, the only documented use of nuclear weaponry in warfare is the United States in Japan in World War II at Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And just that alone, changed the world. This tremendous, it's an atrocity. There's no way to say it, other way to say it, because it was collective punishment.
Yep.
You know, innocents were killed. And this goes to, the dark history of the nuclear weapon, because at the same time, with such a horrible, indiscriminate, monstrous thing, there comes such power. And we know that if you are a nation that's trying to establish hegemony, you know, some sort of sovereignty over a region, then you don't want other nations to have nuclear power, because again, as going to your earlier point, they'll be at the table.
Yeah.
So we learned some interesting stuff when we looked at this video episode, because we found out that quite a few countries got close to building a weapon and didn't. And quite a few countries also struck some Faustian bargains. You know, they made deals with the devil, quote unquote, in order to acquire nuclear weaponry. For instance, we know that people with, countries with admitted nuclear programs, France, Russia, China, the United States, the UK, a couple others. And those are some of the world powers that we hear about the most. Also, we know now that Pakistan and India and North Korea have nuclear programs, but those used to be secret.
Mm-hmm.
We also, well, North Korea's was always kind of an advertising thing.
Yeah.
We also know that, there's a bustling underground nuclear knowledge black market, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Libya and South Africa, either got close to or even completed building nuclear weaponry, before they stepped down. We, of course, know that the worst kept secret in the international community is Israel's nuclear arsenal, which people, you know, the Israeli government officially neither confirms nor denies, but we do know one guy who leaked it to the world, a guy named Mordecai.
Yeah, Mordecai Vanunu, he went to prison in 1986 for leaking information about their nuclear program.
Yeah.
And he's still to this day not allowed to leave.
Yeah, he's not allowed to leave the country.
And, I think it was in May of this year, whoever decides put off his ability to leave the country again another year. And I think that's just what's been happening now. Every year it gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. He's got a website you can go to if you're interested in him.
Yeah.
Just search for Mordecai Vanunu.
Mm-hmm. And I think we mentioned him in our episode as well. The next step that we have, which I'd love to do an update on sometime in the future, is Iran's nuclear program. Is it possible, for instance, that Iran has already built a bomb? Now, I don't think so, because I think it would be announced. Do you think so? Yeah, at some point. I mean, think about it. The United States has Iran surrounded by military bases.
Yeah, I guess it is that card that you would be able to play. You want people to know you have that card in your hand.
I mean,
it's not one you...
If you are literally surrounded, backed into a corner, as it were, then I could see the motivation. But, the biggest question that I have to ask you is, after we found out about the secret nuke stuff and shady characters like AQ Khan, here's the big question. Do you think the world should have nuclear weapons?
I don't know that you can answer that question because obviously you shouldn't. I don't think you should. Having that kind of power with the kind of power hungry people that run the world a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times.
Sure.
It's obviously dangerous. But there's no way going back now. They exist. And I mean, even if we all decide through the UN or some other organizations, organization to destroy all the nukes, then somebody is going to keep nukes. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody will.
Yeah, that's true. I see what you're saying.
Sorry, I know that's a pessimistic way to look at it, but
I think it's a realistic way to look at it. The only way that people wouldn't keep nukes is if there were some overarching authority that does not exist at this time that would prevent it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
The UN has no ability to prevent that. The UN is a good idea, but it doesn't do as much as one would imagine, right?
Somebody just got really mad at you for saying UN's a good idea.
In theory,
I completely agree. In theory, it's an awesome idea.
In theory, direct democracy and representative democracy are both good ideas, and so is communism. You know what? In theory, I bet a strawberry pudding pop is a good idea, but I'm pretty sure it'd be gross. I'm just saying that there's a difference between theory and practice. So in theory, while the UN is a different episode, and I'd love to do that, but the point being is that through these numerous agencies, the UN does not have the ability to enforce as much as people might wish with nuclear weaponry on both sides of the fence, you know, on both the sides of people who think that they should have less oversight on their nuclear programs. Iran comes up again there, to people who think that there should be more oversight across the board.
Yeah.
We have to point out though that the stuff we learned about nuclear weaponry in this podcast, and in our video episode told us some very interesting stuff. There may be nuclear weapon stockpiles in unidentified areas of the world on foreign soil. So imagine, you know, some tiny island in the Indian Ocean or the South Pacific.
Just opens up.
Mm-hmm.
If there's ever a massive war, just starts flinging missiles.
Right. Like the
rockets.
Like the thing that's pretty much a nuclear test, excuse me, alleged nuclear test, the Vela incident, which we cover in another video. And the Vela incident, I don't know, Matt, could you describe it?
It was an alleged test. It wasn't proven. At least nobody would say that it was definitely a nuclear test. It happened in the middle of the ocean. There's a huge variance of where it could have been.
Yeah.
Something like, 3,000 radius? Is that true? A 3,000 kilometer radius?
3,000 kilometer radius, yeah.
That's a huge area. But it was a satellite that picked up the double flash. And this was a satellite that had, you know, detected lots of other tests. And it was the first time that I guess it was controversial that it picked up a flash, but they didn't think, well, maybe it's not a flash.
We were careful how we said this in the episode, or the vlog we did about it. We said, okay, according to the official story, this is not a nuclear test, which would mean that this is the first and the only time that any of the Vela satellites, because there are multiple ones, have ever been wrong about this. And the other proposed alternatives that could have given false positives for nuclear tests.
A meteorite hitting the satellite.
Which is, you have better odds of winning the lottery.
Yeah.
It is literally billions and billions to one. But who knows? Again, plausible, possible.
The documents that I was reading, the highly redacted documents that we actually show in the video that I was reading through, seem to suggest that they were really looking at South Africa and their program at the time and possibly working with Israel for a joint test. But again, there's so much redacted material in there that probably has more of the definitive answer to what they think. But we're not going to know.
Well, I think now it's one of those open secrets. As time passes, you'll see a lot of credible journalism that talks about not Israel, but South Africa's program, wherein they did successfully build weapons, and people do think that they were the primary tester. You hear people bring up Israel, bring up other partner countries that might be involved, you know, like maybe France or, I mean, not India, but things like that. And this brings us to one of my favorite things that we didn't really get to talk about in the video, which is secret nuclear strategies. The thing is that a lot of countries that have nuclear weapons that are known, they vary in their policy toward these weapons. France has this, if we're attacked, everybody is a target policy. So if we're attacked with a nuclear weapon, everybody is a potential target.
Everybody gets a nuke. You get a nuke.
Yeah.
Russia, you get a nuke.
Let's call it the Oprah style. Sure.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
And then, there are rumors that Israel has the Samson option, which is a similar retaliatory plan. All of the countries that have nuclear weapons, thank goodness, have a stated, no first strike policy. Nobody wants to be the person who drops one of those first. But everybody wants to be able to respond in kind. The United States has a policy similar to that. One of my favorites, is the dead hand. Do you remember that one?
That sounds really familiar. You're going to have to enlighten me.
All right. So it's the Russian policy. You remember this one, Matt, wherein this came from the Cold War, and the alleged strategy is this, that there was a system in place in Soviet Russia wherein a nuclear attack that wiped out Moscow, wiped out all of the power centers, right? Would trigger an automatic launch of all nuclear weaponry. So it's like
good
a switch,
God.
A dead man's
yeah,
switch.
Yeah, yeah. You've seen that before, right? Everybody listening, where you're holding the control mechanism in your hand, and if you get shot, when your hand releases it, it goes off.
Yes, and the idea of that is just so fatalistic and frightening. It really is frightening.
Seems kind of smart. I don't know, man. I know it's messed up, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not... You don't make these kind of policies worried about, you know, making friends, right? Because states don't have friends. They have interests, right? And
it's definitely a chest out policy. Like, come on, try it.
Yes. And North Korea has been accused of having a nuclear policy that is entirely based on gaining aid, you know?
Okay.
We'll detonate this bomb.
Help us or we'll detonate this bomb.
Let's have some negotiations, and we need more, food or aid of some sort. And then we'll pretend to negotiate away our nuclear capability. It's another thing. Very, very few countries, will give away their nuclear ability, or concede that ability once they gain it. South Africa being a notable exception. I guess at this point, I gotta ask you, do you think it's possible that there could be a country now that has nuclear weapons that no one knows about?
Ah, that's tough because you can see now if there is it is possible if they were just brought in, like perhaps they didn't, enrich the uranium on their own at a facility inside whatever country we're talking about.
Okay.
If they just had them smuggled in, then sure. But I think if you are enriching uranium in a country somewhere, somebody is going to know about it. Somebody knows about it. With satellite technology now, I mean, you need a fairly big facility to do that.
Okay, that makes sense. So I guess what you're saying then is if there was U.S. or French-owned nuclear arsenal based in a different country, like in Sri Lanka or Kazakhstan or something like that, then there could be nuclear power there that we are not aware of, But for domestically produced stuff, people would find out about it.
I think definitely.
Okay. I got to ask you this too. This is just pure speculation at the end. All right. It's just your total opinion.
All right. Let's do it.
Do you think Iran wants a nuclear bomb? Do you think they'll make it?
I would say it again, just from what we've been discussing, how they're cornered, where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so weird. They're in such a strange place because they kind of need one. They kind of need one for protection, but then diplomatically, it's such a bad move right now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would be the secret route. If I was in Iran, I would go the secret route. I would try and use my allies to get weapons mm-hmm. without doing it on my own.
Well, you know, the newest president of Iran is supposedly striking a more conciliatory tone with Washington. But you do you think that Iran would attack different countries? Because usually what's being drummed up here is the idea that Iran would attack Israel primarily, right? Also possibly Saudi Arabia, right?
Because yeah,
the whole Sunni Shia.
That's tough for me, man. There's so much of that to me is smoke and mirrors from the people that want that land, want to control that area, and you know don't want it, they are a threat, right? I mean,
the people who want to control the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
Okay. And that sounds like a story for another day. Of course, we are talking about one of the biggest choke points for the petroleum trade in the world. Quick myth busting on that one.
Yeah.
Something a lot of people don't know that you and I only learned in the course of the show. The United States does not get the majority of its oil from the Middle East. Don't believe the hype. 40% of the United States products of that sort come from Canada. Canada is our largest foreign supplier of petroleum.
Thanks, guys.
Or is it petroleum and natural gas or something like that? Fossil fuels.
Yes.
Let's just make an umbrella term. And we are going to head out. We would like to hear what you think about nuclear weapons. Is it possible that all of the world's nuclear weapons would be dismantled? Should they be? We think there's no way it's going to happen.
Yeah, if you have a good idea for that, please let us know. Send it to the UN. Send that idea wherever you can, mm-hmm. because kind of maybe we need that to happen. That might be a big step for humanity.
Nah, no one's going to listen. Next, my prediction for next secret nukes, base, the moon.
Oh,
I'm serious.
Man. Yeah, dude, come on. That's going to be so much fun. The nuclear battles that occur on the surface of the moon.
Fun, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be lots of fun.
The moon's a small place, man.
I know.
It would be a one punch battle.
I kind of want to see what happens with a nuke on the surface of the moon, just from a gravity standpoint. And I'm interested.
That's some apocalyptic stuff, my friend. That's
I've been playing way too much Fallout lately.
I mean, the seas, the rivers, the tides. Oh man, I hope that doesn't happen, but we live in a time where things like that could completely happen. So let's make the most of the time we have. Matt, is this episode coming out before the end of the year?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then we have one other piece of big news right now on our YouTube page. As we record this, we are at like 99,400 something. And Matt, you and I asked ourselves a while back if we would actually make it to 100,000 before 2013 was over.
Oh, we're so close, man.
We're taking it right down to the wire, like that Kanye West song.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Whatever.
It is. I know. I agree.
I like the album. And we would love it if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel. So check it out and subscribe if you'd like and help us see if we can reach that goal. This is just like karma on Reddit, you guys. It doesn't actually do anything. It would hopefully make us happy. I don't know.
It might just make us bosses happy. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
We'll be less likely to get fired. Save us for the end of the year.
and this is one last thing. I just want to stress this. I talked about it a couple episodes ago. Whenever you get a chance, I don't want you guys to feel like a weirdo showing your friends these videos about conspiracies, but sharing them with your friends it's kind of, it would be great for us because, I don't know, spreading this information, that's what we're trying to do. We want more people to be thinking about this stuff. And you can help us out. Just show your friend, show your dad, show your mom. Who cares?
You know what I would do if I was going to show a video to my family and friends, then I would probably write to the guys who do it and say, hey, can I get a shout out on this? And then I would show my family.
Yeah, that's a way to do it. All right.
So you can get a shout out from us if you, let's do a quid pro quo Clarice kind of thing.
Okay.
If you write to us with a topic suggestion, especially if we take that topic suggestion, then we will also give you a shout out of your choice. We'd love to start bringing some listener mail here. I had some people have written to us and I haven't brought it in yet, but I think very soon we're going to have to take up some of these listeners on your awesome requests that you're sending in. So go ahead and be a part of this before we become eccentric billionaires who don't read our own email.
Very soon, man. You guys, I've got a list of things I have to get once I become an eccentric billionaire.
Oh, what's the bad joke? I'm at 999 million right now, and I'd really like to make it before the end of the year. Yeah, but do send us an email. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what you think about secret nukes. Tell us what you would like to hear in an upcoming audio or video episode. Our email address is,
as always, conspiracy@discovery.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit testtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.